Well, good morning. It's good to see each of you here on this Lord's Day. We've changed the format, so don't be blown away. We're going to make this a very unusual day. We want it to be a blessing. We kick off this series. It's called You Ask For It. And you guys ask some very amazing questions and challenging questions. And so over the next 5 weeks or so in this series, we're going to seek to answer as many of those questions as we possibly can. But by way of introduction, just in case you're unfamiliar with, or you know, maybe you're like, well, what are we going to do in these questions, and what if I disagree? Just to let you know that we're not trying to say anything bad against an individual or anything like that. We want to just find the truth. We want to reveal the truth in what God says. And you know, asking questions is not bad, but we know that Jesus, he sought to answer questions too. For example, in Luke chapter 18, the Bible says, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" The man was asking a good question. What can I do to inherit life? And he thought that somehow or another there was something he could do. And Jesus answered that question.
It's so important that we get our questions answered, because when we ask questions, we come to a place where we can discover truth. And it's so interesting to me that Jesus actually answered the guy's question. Jesus could have said, "No, I'm not going to answer your question. Go read the law." He didn't do that. He answered his question. And what we want to do is we want to answer the questions you guys have asked. And you guys have asked some pretty good questions, because when you get your questions answered and you discover the truth, it changes everything. How many of you guys like ice cream in here? Like ice cream? Okay, so I want you to do. I want you to think of your favorite ice cream flavor right now. Now, some of you are having a hard time because you have more than one favorite ice cream flavor. I want you, on the count of three, to yell out your favorite ice cream flavor, okay? Here we go, ready? 1, 2, 3, cookies and cream. All right, okay. All right, some of you guys are like, "Oh, I didn't know that was your favorite ice cream flavor." Yeah, just so you know, cookies and cream is the best, okay? Just so you know. Of you ice cream lovers, of you that had your hands raised just a minute ago, I think it was like 99.9% of the room, how many of you have ever had Cold Stone ice cream? Okay, just about the exact same amount of people raised their hand. They've had Cold Stone ice cream. When I discovered Cold Stone, it changed my view of ice cream forever. Okay, the cheap ice cream, it just wasn't quite as good as it was before when I discovered Cold Stone. This is what we believe. When you discover truth, it will change the way you view life. When you discover truth, it'll change the way you view life. In fact, there's something about truth that we all know that I want us to see, and it's this right here. It's we don't change truth. We allow truth to change us. And you think about this. You know this is true. We don't change truth. We allow truth to change us. Nobody in this room is going to go and climb on top of a 10-story building and say, "All right, I don't believe in gravity. Gravity does not exist, and I'm gonna prove that gravity does not exist," and jump off the building. You don't do that unless you want to kill yourself or something. Please don't do that. But you allow the truth of gravity to change the way you live. And that's how truth is. You don't try to change the truth, but you do allow the truth to change you. In this series, we want to discover and examine what is truth, and we want you to make a decision for your life based on what is the truth. Now, you guys asked some great questions, and we're going to start off with a doozy here. We're going to start off with a hard question, just so you know that we're not trying to avoid any hard questions here, okay? Here's the first question we're going to answer today, and we're going to answer two of them. The first question is this: why are Christians hateful towards the LGBT community? Why are Christians hateful towards the LBG community? Well, I can't really speak on behalf of hundreds of millions of Christians in the entire world, but I think I'll try to speak for us, and I'll try to speak for me. So I can't speak for everybody, but I'll try to do that. But there's a verse that comes to my mind that I want to read to you guys. It's in Mark chapter 12, verse 31. It says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And Jesus is actually, he's saying this to some people that have some questions and are questioning him. And Jesus, he said, you should love your neighbor as yourself. And he went on and he told what was called a parable. A parable was a story. And he told the story about a Samaritan and a Jew. And what he was trying to communicate in that story was that you should love everybody, no matter what their background is, no matter what their nationality is, no matter what their sexuality is, no matter what their religion is. You should love everybody because everybody is your neighbor. And Jesus was saying this, that you should love your neighbor just like you love yourselves, no matter what they do, no matter what their background is. Now, when you read the New Testament, homosexuality certainly does go against God's original design for sexuality. And God designed sexuality between a man and a woman, certainly. But there's a lot of other sins out there as well that it seems like Christians, for some reason, aren't so hard on.
Yeah, and you know, the thing of it is, even though that's a sin, there's other sins as well. For example, there's the sin of greed. And I know that none of you in here are greedy, but you can understand that there's the sin of greed. And then there's the sin of lying. And those who, you know, who have a problem with that, then there's the sin of anger. And some people have that, or an unforgiving spirit, or bitterness. So, you know, when you really look at it from that viewpoint, you know, sin is sin. And the bottom line is that, you know, Christians have a tendency, when you look at it, they have a tendency sometimes to, you know, to kind of get a little self-righteous, I think. And there are times when they look at, you know, homosexuality and say, that's a sin, and they kind of look down on their nose at that. And yet the bottom line is that that itself is a sin of what they just committed. Because when you put yourself up above someone else, you violate what Jesus taught. You violate the law. You're to love your neighbor as yourself. And so certainly when we look at that in Scripture, that God says that we're to love them, we understand that there's really no excuse for treating anyone without love, as Jesus taught.
Yeah, it's like we're harder on people that sin a little differently than we do, you know. And there's no place for that in Christianity, and there's no place for that. So to answer your question, because for some reason Christians have this weird tendency, I know it's weird, to think that they're better than other people when they are not better than anybody all. And if you maybe you have suffered maybe some things because of maybe a Christian that hasn't really lived out the message of Jesus the way they should, we apologize to you on behalf of Christians all around the world, because all Christians are not like that. But this leads us to our second question today, and this is kind of the big one we're gonna kind of go through today, and that's this: what's the difference between Christianity and religion? What's the difference between Christianity and religion, or is there a difference at all? A lot of people, they put Christianity under the umbrella of religion as a whole. And you actually wrote an interesting article in the Daily Republic. I think it was like August 9th or something like that. I won't ask how many people in here read it, because we know everybody in here read the article that you wrote in the Daily Republic. Question, how many of you guys still read a printed copy of the newspaper? A printed copy. Okay, about 15 of you. Do you still read a printed copy of the newspaper?
Yes, sir, I sure do.
Figures.
I care about our community, so.
That's great. There's this thing called the internet and apps where you click and they. But you wrote this article, and you brought up an issue to me this past week, as far as religion and wars and how a lot of wars have been caused because of religion. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, I don't mean wars in households, you know. Because there's a lot of people, they have wars in households, and they say, oh, it's because of religion or whatever. And I don't mean wars like as in Iraq or Afghanistan, or like the Crusades, the ancient wars, and some of those other things. There's, when you think about, there are religious wars. And, you know, when you look at it, they try to use, people like to use religion as an excuse to hurt man. And so that's what I was touching a little bit on.
Yeah, you were talking about how those crusades and some of the things back many years ago, when you were a kid, basically. Many years ago, how a lot of those were started because of quote-unquote religion. And then I'll talk to somebody that'll be my age, or, you know, you guys will talk to different people, and they'll say, maybe they'll even have a church background, and we'll bring up, hey, you know, we'd like to invite you to church, maybe ask them about Jesus, things like that, and they have a lot of pushback because of this very issue. I can't do that because thousands of people, millions of people have died because of religion, because of wars, and just a lot of strong pushback. But I think sometimes what we're doing is we might be confusing religion with Christianity because of this question. What if religion and Christianity are different? What if religion and Christianity aren't the same at all? And what if a lot of these wars that have been started in the name of religion really had nothing to do with Christianity at all?
Yeah, let's look at religion. Let's start off to get a real clear understanding, a definition of religion. We have a ladder here, and I think most of you guys have used a ladder. And of course, you know, a ladder takes a little bit of effort. You know, you got to have muscles, you got to pull yourself up, and all of that. So a ladder would represent for us religion. And there's a lot of people that like to kind of lump everything into one big, you know, huge label called religion. So, you know, churches are religious, and Christians are religious, and religions of the world. And so they like to put it all together. But what religion is, let's get a clear definition. It is seeking God's approval by performing good works. Now, it's seeking God's approval by performing good works. So people are trying to get God's favor. So they have the idea that, you know, I'm going to create this, and I want, you know, I want to be able to do these good things so that God will like me, or that God will approve me, or God will accept me. And so a lot of people say, well, you know, I need to go to church, and by going to church, then that's, you know, that's my religion, and that's how I'm going to get up to God. And some say, well, it's through prayer. I'm going to pray a lot, you know, and I'm going to do these things. And some, I got baptized, and so that's how I'm going to get to heaven, is because of my baptism. And others, you know, there's example in Scripture of this picture of those trying to get to heaven their own way, trying to get God's favor by really ignoring God's plan. And that is in the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. They were building a tower, the Bible said, that they can reach heaven. And it was all of their effort, all of what they did in trying to get there. It was a man-based religion, if you would. And we think about man-based religions. You know, what are some religious teachings in other religions?
That's a really good question. When you look at religions as a whole, and there's a ton of them. I mean, I was talking to somebody, and they said something about, like, or maybe I was watching something, and they were talking about how they're going to try to come up with a new religion, and they're going to try to come up with something, and I'm just like, okay. It's like a new religion is popping up like every other month, it seems like. But when you look at religion as a whole, it all has the same fundamental foundation. Okay, so it may look a little different, it may have a different wrapper on the outside, but the candy's the same, and it's this: trying to do something to get God's approval by your own good works. Try to do something to get God's approval by your own good works. And without getting a lot of detail, we want to look at just a couple religions that you may have heard of, just to show you, like, what do they teach, and not to rip them or anything like that, but just to show you what they say about themselves. There's a really good hole-in-the-wall Chinese restaurant in Suisun. It's off of Sunset, right next to Black Bear Diner. It used to be called Mongolian Barbecue. I know they have new ownership, so I don't know if they call it something different now, but it's a great place to eat. When I was a kid, I would walk in there, and they would have a statue of Buddha right there, and I would... As a kid, you know, you have all these different thoughts in your mind and stuff, like, oh, that's gold. I wonder if it's worth any money or anything like that, you know. Maybe I could take that and sell that to my friend next door. No, of course I never thought that. But I wonder, you know, like, what's Buddhism all about? Well, Buddhism is based on four noble truths. It's based on this: the truth of suffering, the truth of the origin of suffering, the truth of the ceasing of suffering, and the truth that leads to the extinction of suffering. So these would be the four noble truths that Buddhism would teach, and they would teach an eightfold path that would lead to enlightenment, that would lead to a place of nirvana, through a right view, through you having right intention, through you having right speech, through you having right actions, through you having a right livelihood, through you having right efforts, through you having right mindfulness, and through you having right concentration. I don't know about you, but there's no way I can do all these things. But these are all the things that you have to do through your character, through your discipline, through your hard work, through your grit, through your determination, through your goodness to reach a state of enlightenment, to reach a state of nirvana. Notice, it's all about what you can do. There's another religion that we all know about. That would be Islam.
Yeah, Islam is, of course, you know, kind of got everyone's attention. Islam has five pillars. And these five pillars are saying your confession of faith, of course, saying that you believe in Allah, praying and giving money, fasting during Ramadan, and making this a pilgrimage to Mecca. Notice, it's all about what you do. It's about what you can do. And it's about effort. In fact, in the Quran, they actually have clear statements. For example, in Surah 2, did we take that out? Okay. In Surah 2, verse 25, and give good news, O Muhammad, to those who believe and do good deeds. Another place they say, but those who believe and do good deeds, we will admit them to the gardens in which rivers flow, lasting them forever. So here we find that, you know, for them, you know, it's all about doing good according to their pillars so that they can make it to their paradise, if you will.
Yeah, certainly, and that's directly out of the Quran. There's another religion that talk about Christ and actually have some solid teaching about Christ, at least to a certain extent, but they are fundamentally based on religion, just like Buddhism, just like Islam, just like any other religion. It's based on what you can do, and that would be Catholics. Catholics are some of the nicest people that you'll ever meet. Maybe you have a Catholic background, or maybe you would consider yourself a Catholic in here. But a Catholic would say that there's certain things, if you're a Catholic, you understand this. There's certain things you have to do. You have to do your first communion. You have to be baptized. You have to do confessional. You have to do all these things to get to heaven. And if you do enough good things, here's the word, hopefully you'll be good enough to go to heaven. But you can't really know for sure, and you never will really know, because it's going to be dependent on how many good things you can do in your life. I'm going to show you a verse, and this verse might blow your mind if you've never seen this before. I hope this verse really can be like a light bulb to all of us this morning. And it says this. John says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay, now the Son of God is Jesus. So these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of Jesus. Right here it says that ye may know. Like you can know, just like you're sitting in this room, just like hopefully you brushed your teeth this morning, you may know that you have eternal life. So it's not something that you're like, man, I hope so. The Bible says that it was written so you can know that you have eternal life and that you would believe on the name of the Son of God. Let me use this word believe really quick, because the way as Americans, the way we think of the word believe is we think of believing as like an intellectual fact in our minds. Like, I believe that this TV is here. Like, I believe that I'm wearing a tie. I believe that this cross is here. Like, that's how Americans is. We view it as like an intellectual fact. But when the Bible says here, it says the word believe, it means trust. It's one thing to believe that this cross is here, one thing to believe that this TV is here. It's another thing to put your trust in this TV. You don't do that because it's just an object. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that trust on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life and that ye may trust on the name of the Son of God. Now, this is good to know, because actually in James, the Bible says that even the devils, they believe as an intellectual fact. They believe in God, intellectual fact, and they tremble. So even the devils, the people that we would say, oh, the devils are terrible, that kind of stuff, they believe as in an intellectual fact, but they don't trust. Belief equals trust. Christianity is trusting in Jesus. It's not believing as an intellectual fact that he was alive, because that's just known. The world knows that he was alive at one point. He did miracles, all those types of things. But it's actually trusting in him and trusting what Jesus did on the cross. And the fact that he came, he died, he was buried, and he rose again for you. And it's trusting in this and saying, there's nothing I can do to get to heaven on my own. Because that's religion. It's simply trusting in Jesus and what he did. Believing in him, not as an intellectual fact, but believing in him as in trusting in what he did. You could really sum this whole thing up in this. Religion, something you have to do, works. Christianity, Jesus already did it, grace. So religion, there's a ladder. You have to climb it. You have to do this. 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 I was hoping he was going to try to climb the ladder, but I don't think we're going to get to that today. Maybe the second service?
I don't know.
Okay. Stick around. Just kidding. But religion is all these things you have to do. Christianity says it's grace. It's been given to you.
You know, sometimes people confuse Christians with the doing. You know, Christians do this and do that and do all those things. But there is a difference. Religion says, I do so that I can get God's approval. Christianity says the reason why I do anything at all is out of my response to the fact that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and that he's my Savior. And the reason why that I would go to church is because of what he did for me. Because he loves me, and I love him. The reason why I would pray and talk to God and why I would let God talk to me is because I love him. Not so that I can get to heaven. And you know, sometimes people mix the two together. And you know, it's not about us, you know, it's not mixing them together. You know, it's like some people, okay, I'm going to believe in Jesus, but I also got to be good if I'm going to make it. And the bottom line is, none of us are good. There's none righteous, no, not one. The only way that any of us can be good enough is through Jesus and what he did. So anything that you and I would try to do to court God's favor, it doesn't work. Because the bottom line is that you can't uncourt God's favor either. He loves you whether you love him or not. And that's a great promise in Scripture. You see, Christianity is based on grace, and it's not on man. That's why there's a verse in Scripture here, and it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So for me, if I were to, and I've met a lot of religious people over the years, and I'll be honest with you, they're probably a whole lot better person than I am, because of the very fact that they're trying to do in order to be accepted with God, when really the bottom line is that I realize there's nothing I can do. I'm just a huge failure. The only thing that really matters is having Jesus as my personal Savior. That's grace. God doesn't look down and say, oh, you're a good person, so okay, you're all right, we'll let you come in. No, he looks down and says, you're not a good person. That's why I come to die. Trust me as your Savior. That's grace. And I'm so thankful today that God says that it's all by his grace.
And even if it was by our own works, if we're honest with ourselves, we're not very good people. We're really not. And in fact, we can't even keep our own rules. You know, like I've been working out recently, and I've been, you know, when you work out, you don't feel like working out and then going and eating a pizza that night. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the plan. But it's like, okay, you're trying to watch your diet and all that kind of stuff. You guys can relate with me. You're trying to watch your diet a little bit, and you're like, I don't want to eat this. I'm going to go home. I'm not going to eat this. When you go home, what do you end up doing? Eating it. It's like, I can't even keep my own rules. So it's like, how can we keep God's rules? It reminds me of a story in the Spanish-American War. Clara Barton, I think the picture was on there. Clara Barton, she was the founder of the Red Cross, and she was leading up the work of the Red Cross in Cuba. And Colonel Teddy Roosevelt came to her, and his men were wounded, his men were sick, and he came to her and said, "Hey, we need some supplies. Look, here's some money. Give me some supplies." She said, "No, I'm not giving you any supplies." He was upset. He was like, you're founder of the Red Cross. You lead the Red Cross. You lead this organization that's supposed to help people. I'm going to give you money. Can you just give me some supplies? She said, no, I'm not going to do that. Very upset. He went to some people close to him, and he said, what's going on with this, the Red Cross? What's it all about? How come they won't give me any supplies? I'm going to pay them for it. And his friend looked at him and said, why don't you just ask for it? And it's like the light bulb came on. You see, the supplies weren't for sale. There was nothing he could do to make her give them to him. The supplies were for free. All she had to do was he just had to accept them. And sometimes in the scape of religion, it's like, I have to do all these things. I have to do this and do that to gain eternal life, when really it's not about what you can do. It's what Jesus already did on the cross.
So today, when we say there's a difference between religion and Christianity, absolutely, a huge difference. That's just man-made. That's Jesus. And honestly, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ and put your faith only in him as your personal Savior, you can today. That's where grace comes in. That's what grace is about. That's when God says, "Is for by grace are you saved through faith." And the idea of believing on him means to put our total reliance, our trust, rest everything on Jesus. And when we do, when we call upon him, the Bible says that at that point we realize it's not our own merits, it's the grace of God that will allow us to know him as our personal Savior.
And I think that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to, maybe there's somebody in here, and maybe this whole Christianity and religion thing, maybe you've kind of had it, kind of, you lumped them under the same umbrella. Maybe you've never quite seen it as Christianity, grace. Christianity, what Jesus has already done. Religion works, what you can do. Maybe you've never quite seen the differentiation, but at that moment. What we're going to do is we're going to give you an opportunity. If you've never trusted in Jesus, we're going to allow you to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Can we all bow our heads right now with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? And we're looking around. How many would say, Nate, there's been a time in my life when I put my faith in Jesus. Nate, there's been a time in my life when I put my trust in Christ. I'm not using religion. I'm not trusting in religion to take me to heaven. But there's a time in my life when I put my faith in Jesus. If that's you.